You've probably seen him around. He came at the, see at the poll. How many people are ready to learn more about what this man has to bring to you? Me too. I will fail if I try to give your, you know, what your name of your church, I've been forgetting,
Well of Living Water.
Well of Living Water. But Pastor Garrett Lear, the part that's important to me and meaningful to me is he is here to share God's word with you, but he also is Sean Sullivan's pastor, and I know that means a lot to Sean, right, that he's here today. So that's special. And after today, he will no longer be unknown to you, but he'll be your new friend. And maybe a future, beginning of a future chapel speaker that he can come back again. Do you think that's a good idea? Well, let's find out if that's a good idea, right? Pastor Garrett Lear, welcome him, please.
Thank you. Thank you. We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, this morning. If you have a Bible handy, I always like to demonstrate what I believe about the Bible. Saints, draw your swords. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. And turn to the 103rd chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'm reading from the King James translation this morning. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to keep, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and all his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You can say, praise the Lord, amen, and be seated.
Praise the Lord, amen.
Well, it is a great joy for me to be with you here today. I am a descendant of the Pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower. How many of you ever heard of the Mayflower and the Pilgrims? I am a direct descendant of them. This morning, coming here, about a 40-minute ride for me, and not as bad as it could be when I thought, well, my ancestors made that long, arduous voyage across the Atlantic in a ship called the Mayflower. How many of you have ever been to Plymouth, Massachusetts and seen Mayflower 2 there? Well, I can tell you, it would not be a pleasant voyage for a man like me because I would have spent my whole voyage either on my knees or on the deck because it didn't give a whole lot of room. But we need to think about what the sacrifice was that they made. It was significant. And their sacrifice, when we think about whatever that we're going through, and as the scriptures point out to us in Psalm 103 that we've just read, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thankfulness, and incidentally, for those of you that don't know that, America is unique in the sense that we have this holiday called Thanksgiving, and we're really the only country in the world that has it. And we have a good reason for it, and it starts with the pilgrims there in the Mayflower. They weren't initially called pilgrims. They were called separatists, and later years they were called pilgrims because they made that journey from where they came from to a new world. And today, I want to read for you and with you the Mayflower Compact. How many of you ever heard of that? Good. That's a good show of hands. There are many Americans that have no clue about the Mayflower Compact, but the Mayflower Compact was signed right there in Provincetown Harbor, November 11th, by the old calendar, 1620. And it was really our first constitution of government. And for all the people today that think that America was not started as a Christian nation, I want you to know this, young people, America was in fact started as a Christian nation by Christian people who had a purpose in their life, and their intention was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that biblical truth. And so I'm going to read from the Mayflower Compact, and I've brought copies with me that for each one of you to take home with you for your family. In the name of God, amen. That's a good way to start, don't you think? We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for a better ordering and preservation and the furtherance of the ends aforementioned, aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini, 1620. How many of you know what Anno Domini means? Okay. Sean, do you know what it means? Okay, take a guess. Anno Domini means in the year of our Lord. And children, I want you to remember this. When you hear Anno Domini, it's not in the year of Buddha. It's not in the year of Confucius. It's not in the year of Mohammed. And I'm not trying to insult anyone who has different beliefs than this. But I want you to know for a fact that the people who made that sacrificial trip, who were later called pilgrims, and by the way, a third of the women, actually most all of the adult women, died on the voyage. In the first year of the Plymouth colony, half of them froze to death in their beds. But in the spring, when the Mayflower was contracted to go back to England, nobody got back on the ship. Because they believed they were pilgrims passing through, they were on a mission, and they stated in this document what their mission was. Let me remind you of this. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. So when people say America wasn't started by Christians, wasn't started with a Christian mission, that is a lie. And I'm going to be very emphatic when I tell you it's a lie from hell. The truth is, these people got together and they signed it, and two of my ancestors, John Tilley and John Howland, signed it. They meant it. Now, not everybody that was on the Mayflower was a Christian. Captain Jones, who was actually Christopher Jones, who was the captain, he wasn't a Christian. There were sailors on board that were not Christians, but they're not the ones that paid for the voyage. They're not the ones that contracted for the ship. It was these people that signed this document. And so I need for you to remember this and understand this throughout your whole life. Now, the other interesting thing is, if you go to Plymouth, and I'm there frequently, I've done some documentaries. If you go to our website, thepatriotpastor.org, you can see many of the documentaries that we've done. Done one right there at the Forefathers Monument, which is excellent, overlooking Mayflower 2 and the harbor. There's also a statue there called, right across from Plymouth Rock. And Plymouth Rock is nothing spectacular or pretty, necessarily. It's just commemorative. And people have tried chipping away pieces of it as if, you know, they think that that's going to do something for them to have a little piece of Plymouth Rock. It isn't. What's going to help us is believing as those pilgrims believed, knowing what they stood for and biblical truth. And so there's a statue was put there actually by an organization that I have some relationship to called the Daughters of the American Revolution. In 1920, they put this statue to the Pilgrim Mother. It's called a memorial to the women on the Mayflower. It's also been come to be known as the Pilgrim Mother. And this is what it says on there. It's an inscription in stone. And incidentally, as you travel across this country, as I have, and I've ministered in all 50 states, all the provinces of Canada, minus two, different parts of Europe and so forth and so on. I want to tell you, this is a beautiful country. The country we live in is a wonderful country, and I love this country. I may have no bones about it. On the statue it says, they brought up their families in sturdy virtue and living faith in God without which nations perish. Let me read that to you again. This is talking about the Pilgrim Mothers. They brought up their families in sturdy virtue and a living faith in God without which nations perish. And I can tell you as a native New Englander myself, reading that, hearing that, resonates with me because I said, that's the way we're raising you now. Your parents are raising you that way now. You're getting this education in a Christian school for this reason, so that you can grow up as our posterity. Who knows what posterity is? Well, not exactly, but we'll say sort of. One person said to me, well, you shouldn't say posterity. That's not nice. That's what we sit on. No, you sit on your posterior. Posterity, if I'm looking at you, you're my posterity. You're the future. And see, those pilgrims on that ship weren't just thinking about themselves. People that have come before us in America weren't just thinking about themselves and what they could do for themselves. They were thinking about you, the investment. And I'm sure all of you know here at this Christian school that lots of people have invested to help you to get the kind of education that you need so you can serve the Lord in our country and we can see revival and renewal and restoration in our country. Now, that may be a lot for you. I'm speaking not just to your intellect and your emotions as children, but also to your spirit to encourage you. Now I want to read to you the quintessential vision for America. That's probably a $100 word to you. Quintessential means the very best, okay? If tonight for dessert, your mother says you're going to have the quintessential dessert, that'll mean to you the very best dessert you've ever had. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. Beloved, there is now set before us life and good, death and evil, in that we are commanded this day to love the Lord our God and to love one another, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his ordinance and his laws and the articles of our covenant with him, that we may live and be multiplied, that the Lord our God may bless. Therefore, let us choose life, that we and our seed may live by obeying his voice and cleaving to him, for he is our life and our prosperity. That was a speech delivered by John Winthrop on the deck of the Arabella in 1630. And basically, what he was doing was reminding the people, 10 years after the Mayflower, 10 years after the Mayflower Compact, of what their purposes were and should be and ever should be. And also, once again, he said, and our seed, you're the seed, you're the posterity, right? To be reminded all the time. Now, why do we need to be reminded? Because we quickly forget. I mean, that's just the human condition. I come here this morning to remind you of these things and stand dressed like this so that you can remember that people that came before you loved the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, loved his word, like what we just read in Psalm 103, that when we have Thanksgiving Day, it's not just about, as Principal Wyrick said, though we probably all will eat more than we need to. See, we have our feast days, right? Thanksgiving is one of our feast days where lots of food. And that's a great thing, especially when we remember it represents to us divine providence. That's a fancy word for saying God provides for us. Our God provides for us, and he provides abundantly for us. And America has had more divine providence historically than any other country in the world. Now you might ask, why? Why would the Lord God Almighty, the God of the Bible, why would he bless America so much? Well, I believe part of it is because of the Mayflower Compact. Part of it is because of what I just read to you from John Winthrop, one of the first governors, in 1630, of what their mission was about. It's also interesting, Governor Bradford, who wrote a book called The History of Plymouth Plantation. In my life, I started reading when I was 4 years of age. And by the way, your peewee basketball, I never qualified. I could never play peewee basketball. I was young once, but I never was small. So they never allowed me in peewee anything. I was too big for it. That's sort of a joke, but it is true. I started reading when I was 4 years of age, and I chose to read not fictional books, but biographies and books like this, The History of Plymouth Plantation, because then you find out really what happened through the eyes of people who were there that we could trust. And I want you to know something. I love God's word. According to Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I placed in my heart that I would not sin against thee. I love God's word. I've read it every single day of my life for 40 years. I've read it I'm in my 19th translation now. I've read it hundreds of times. I've never come to the end of it, never got tired of reading it, and never have learned everything there is about it. That's how amazing the Bible is. And I hope that you will have a lifelong pursuit of knowing who God is from his biography. See, many people listen to preaching, they listen to teaching, and that's good. But the best way to know who God really is to read his biography, in a sense, his autobiography, is the Bible. He wrote it. But here's an interesting statement from William Bradford. Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled has shone unto many. Yea, in some sort to our whole nation, let the glorious name of Jehovah have all praise. And so we started as a very humble beginning, as a very small enterprise, you might say, a small group of people. And now, to this day, I mean, I'm not the only Mayflower descendant. There are millions of them here in America, actually throughout the whole world. And so you can see from a very small beginning, maybe some of the things that you're facing in your life may seem small. But if you do the will of the Lord as he directs you, even though it may seem small, it can grow into something greater. And as I said to you before, America is the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. And you have to ask the question, why is that? And I believe there's great understanding of why that is. And I brought something with me that in my family has been a tradition for years. I've brought 5 kernels of corn. Now, if I was to say to you, let me give you 5 kernels of corn, and what are you going to do with them? Here they are right there. Not very much. And we're hungry. And incidentally, in the first year of the Plymouth Colony, they were starving. When they had the first Thanksgiving, they were very hungry. See, when we have our Thanksgiving, probably not many of you are going to go away hungry. You're going to go away full. There's going to be plenty of food left over. But it wasn't that way. Now, most people are thankful when they have everything they want. But could you be like those pilgrims and be thankful even though maybe you don't have everything you want? You're thankful because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're thankful because you know the Lord is watching over you. You know that the Lord has provided the opportunity. So those pilgrim fathers who landed at Plymouth Rock over 300 years ago. So I tell people I have 373 as of now, 373 years of ancestry in America. So when I tell people this is my country, and I'm real passionate about loving my country and want to see my country survive, don't be surprised if you hear me say that. And so as we look today at the what's called affluent times, in other words, that we're pretty prosperous, and some people complain about the economy now. On our worst day in America is better than most best days in many countries of the world. So the next time that you're tempted to complain about what's going on in our country, remember about these 5 seeds of corn, that the pilgrims didn't have much, but they possessed a great gratitude. See, the idea is Thanksgiving should not be just one day set aside as the last Thursday of the month of November, one month in advance of Christmas Day and Advent season. We should be a thankful people every day of our lives. Can you say that with me? We should be a thankful people every day of our lives. In fact, the Lord wants us to be thankful like that. He wants to hear us offer up our thanksgiving. Now, of these 5 kernels of corn, I'm going to go through this kind of quickly because our time is fleeting. And I recognize many of you may be too young to grasp some of this. But you're going to remember that there was a 6'7" pilgrim that came in here, his mama dressed him funny. And he came in with 5 kernels of corn. And he talked to you from Psalm chapter 103, particularly emphasizing the first 5 verses of that chapter, but also about these 5 kernels of corn. The first kernel coming from these scriptures was forgiveness, that the Lord has provided forgiveness for us and we don't deserve it. In verse 3a of that scripture that we read in Psalm 103, what did he say? He forgives all of our sins. And I'll tell you what, maybe you haven't lived long enough to appreciate that. I've lived long enough to appreciate that very much. So that's very important. The next thing is the kernel of redemption, which in verse 4a, who redeems your life from the pit. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in this world. The pilgrims, who were also Puritans in a sense, and I'm not going to take the time to describe that totally, but that they had to leave the church and the country that they were with because the country and the church had gotten off track. And so for them, it was huge to say, who redeems your life from the pit? I hope and pray that you will serve Jesus Christ every day of your life and that you won't have to experience some of the fallen things of the world as they had. And they believed that the world was fallen and had a lot of evil in it. And the only hope was redemption through Christ. So they looked at that as their 5 kernels of corn, as a second kernel. And then the third kernel was of healing. In verse 3b, it says, who heals all your diseases. Now, if you've ever been sick, anyone ever been sick in here before? Every single one of us here, I think, has put up our hands saying we at one time or another has been sick with one thing or another. I'm in my 67th year of life, and I'm only missing about 5 or 6 body parts. Done pretty well, considering the rough and tumble life, so to speak, of a soldier that I've been. I've had a few broken bones. Love horses. One of them threw me off and broke my wrist, got broken and left me with a nice little bump there. You know, so I have good remembrances when I'm with my grandson, who's kind of a tough little fella. I show him my scars, and I'm proud of every one of those scars because I earned them along the way. So one of the kernels that we look at is the fact that the Lord provides healing for us, whether it was miraculous of one sort or another to me to be able to go to a doctor, have a surgery, or take a medicine that you get better by. That's pretty miraculous too. And then a fourth kernel is of love and compassion, verse 4a, that says, crowns you with love and compassion. My hope and prayer for you today, students of the Ossipee Valley Christian School, is that every day of your life you will have the love of Christ that you pour out on other people. You'll have compassion for other people. Compassion is not sympathy. Compassion is having some understanding of what other people go through. Now, you all said in here that you've been sick. If you've been sick, you certainly feel badly for somebody who's sick and would want to offer help. The Lord helps us in that. And then the fifth kernel that we would look at from the scriptures there, I actually want to read it from verse 5 there, 103 verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I believe that living a thankful life really renews our daily life. Every day when I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, I love you. And then I say, and you are God, and I am not. Now, that may not sound very profound to some people, but it's a profound thing. The God of the Bible is truly God, and I am not. That takes a great burden off of me. I don't have to pretend to be God. I don't have to try to be God. And that's a good thing, because if I tried, I wouldn't do very well at it. He is God, and we look to him. So that would be our fifth kernel, basically, of saying that the Lord satisfieth our mouth. And here's where the thanksgiving comes in. And I hope tomorrow when you're with your family, maybe you'd suggest to do the five kernels and think about that and offer up that thanksgiving. And in offering that thanksgiving, you'll be renewed. I also want to mention to you about some proclamations that were issued, and I'm going to read you one of my favorites from one of my favorite people. Who was the first president of the United States of America? Correct. Very good. And regardless of what some people will tell you, I want you to know that George Washington was a very good Christian man, and there's plenty of history to show that. And I'm going to read the first part of his Thanksgiving proclamation here today. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to go towards the end of it, where he says, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and to us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York the third day of October in the year of our Lord 1789. Now, I know that's a lot to comprehend, but what he's saying there is that thanksgiving should not just be eating. Thanksgiving should also be with prayer. And so hopefully tomorrow around your table, you might ask the permission of your dad or your mom or your grandparents, could I pray? Could I say a prayer in Jesus' name and just thank the Lord for those five kernels of corn and thank the Lord for all that he has done for us? Don't be afraid to do that. I also want to mention to you that a lot of people say America is not a Christian nation. America, the founders were not Christians. They pick on people like Thomas Jefferson. Let me read to you about Thomas Jefferson, who was our third president. Thomas Jefferson said this when he was actually the governor or chief magistrate of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Whereas the Honorable, the General Congress, impressed with a grateful sense of the goodness of Almighty God in blessing the greater part of this extensive continent with plentiful harvest, crowning our arms repeatedly with successes, conducting us hereto safely through the perils which we have been encompassed, and manifesting in multiplied instances his divine care of these infant states, hath thought proper by the act of the 20th day of October last to recommend to the states that Thursday, the 9th of December next, be appointed a day of public and solemn thanksgiving and prayer. Now, the dates are a little different. It wasn't until President Abraham Lincoln actually established the day that we have now, as the last day of November, the last Thursday. But can you see that they early on recognized the hand of God on America, the hand of Christ, not the hand of any other religion? And so we as Christians have every rightful thought to be able to stop, to offer up thanksgiving to the Lord, and offer up prayer. Some people want to stop us from doing it. I want to pledge to you, nobody's going to stop me from offering up thanksgiving to Almighty God, no matter what they do to me. Nobody's going to stop me from praying in the name of Jesus, and many people have tried, and they've failed. Like I said, I'm missing some body parts, but one thing I'm not missing is a heart for Christ. The Lord is in my heart, and the Holy Spirit helps us if we're willing to stand. In 1643, Anno Domini, what's that mean? What? Anno Domini? Year of our Lord, year of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies, whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. See, that's what they believed in. If you go to Harvard Square, I always do that every now and then to prove to people, though I've lived all over the country, I'm a native New Englander and I know how to talk like one. If you go to Harvard Square, it says right on the gate on Mass Ave, after God had carried us safe to New England and we had builded our houses, provided necessaries for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and settled the civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and perpetuate it to posterity. Who's the posterity around here? Raise your hand if you're posterity. Come on. You're all posterity. That's right. Dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in the dust. That you may not quite understand, kind of fancy language, but it means that they started Harvard to educate pastors in the Word of God so that the people could learn the Word of God by those pastors and by themselves. And of course, it's interesting if you look, and this, you got to be a native New Englander to understand this. What's the first thing that they did when they got here? Of course, remember, they got here, it was cold like it is now. After God had carried us safe to New England, we first builded our houses. They built houses. That's a good thing, right? Got to have a house to live in. Provided necessaries for our livelihood. They planted some crops. They raised convenient places for God's worship. They built churches. Okay. And settled the civil government. Those things they did first. And then they said, now it's time to start a school to train the ministers. So that throughout America, people will be able to learn the gospel. And I can tell you that these are still noble efforts that we should continue to do even now. Now I'd like you to stand with me as I pray a blessing on you. I am old enough to qualify to be a patriarch. See, you got to be as old as me or somewhere in that area to be a patriarch. Patriarch means you can go out and pray over people and bless them and speak to them as one who's been around for a while. And as I always tell people, especially young people, though I'm missing a lot of my parts, look at my hands. I got all my fingers and my two thumbs. Wow. See if you can live as long as me and keep them and use a chainsaw at the same time. Right? Yeah, or a bunch of other stuff that could take them. Well, Father, we thank you here at the Ospe Valley Christian School today on this beautiful day before Thanksgiving 2013 that we've had the opportunity to be in your presence. We've been in your presence and offered up our thanksgiving and have read your word in Psalm 103, understanding the beautiful history that you've given us in this country, the Christians who went before us, and we would not fail to keep that vision that was set for us as a city on a hill. Even though there may be difficulties in America, we know nothing is too great for you, Lord. And so, as a patriarch and as a leader in this country, I pronounce a blessing on all these children that have gathered, as if they were my own very children or grandchildren, that they can live long and prosper, and that they can go out and do as their forefathers have done. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In Christ's name, amen and amen. And you might know this song. Faith of our fathers. You know that one? Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. You know that one? In spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Good. I'm glad to see I got some help here today. I would like for each one of you to come by. Now, if you're, many of you probably are of the same family, but if you're not, I want each of you to come by and get a copy here of the Mayflower Compact, okay? One per family, if you will. Come on ahead. There you go. Lord bless you. And you, Lord bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Lord bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You must share that right now.
Thank you. Okay. Make sure you bring it home now. Show it to your folks. There you go.
I should have turned it up, but I figured by the time I did it, we'd be
good. Do you all remember the first thing that I said to you when I came? We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, I think we got everyone.
No, Sophia, right here. Waiting so patiently.
Mm-hmm.
A lady indeed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's nice.
Did you get one?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
My pleasure. There you go. Maybe